giving and tithing, receiving from God. Contrary to popular belief, you do not receive any blessing from God when you give or when you tithe. There are benefits to giving, but we'll discuss that later. Let's address tithing specifically. Under the law, you receive from God based on your works. Tithing is one of those works. Leviticus 27, verse 30. But even under the law, tithing is only beneficial if you keep the whole law. This is exactly what Paul addresses concerning circumcision. Romans 2, 25 says, "For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision." If you want to receive from God based on your tithe, then you must keep the whole law. Otherwise, your tithe is regarded by God as no tithe at all. This is why we must receive from God through Jesus. Jesus is the only way to receive from the Father. We say this about salvation, and then for some reason we make an exception for receiving financial blessing from God. It's like Jesus was good enough to save us without our works, but if we want to be financially blessed, it's enacted by one of our works, as a show of trust in God. That's not how salvation worked, and that's not how any receiving from God works. Colossians 2:6 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Good works are great, and when you're believing the Lord, works will follow, but not as a prerequisite to receiving anything from God. Tithing before the law. But you may say, as many people do, tithing was practiced even before the law, though. It goes back to Abraham and Jacob. Yes, tithing was before the law. Abraham tithed, but not as a means of blessing. Just like circumcision, burnt offerings, and sacrifices were also before the law. They were practiced as a shadow of things to come, not as a means of blessing or covenant with God. Let's look at Abraham and Jacob, those not under the law, like us. Were they blessed because of their tithe? Genesis 14:18-20 says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him, Abram, and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High.' And he," meaning Abram, "gave him a tithe of all." Pay attention to this. Was Abraham blessed after he tithed? Or was he blessed after Melchizedek brought out bread and wine, which are a symbol of Jesus' provision? Abraham was blessed before he ever tithed, based on the symbols of Jesus. Well, what about Jacob? Genesis chapter 28, verses 12-13, also verse 20, says, "Then he," meaning Jacob, "dreamed, and behold, a ladder, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants.'" And then in verse 20 it says, "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'Of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth," or a tithe, "to you." If you didn't know, Jesus refers to himself in the New Testament as the ladder that Jacob saw. That's John chapter 1, verse 51. Did God pronounce blessing on Jacob through his tithe, or was it through the ladder that he saw? Jacob saw the ladder, and then God pronounced over him what we'd call the blessing of Abraham. Then, at the end of the chapter, Jacob promises a tenth, or a tithe. The truth is, these are common examples of tithing, and yet our examples, Abraham and Jacob, were not blessed because of their tithing. They were blessed after seeing Jesus, and so are we. Shadows. Do you sacrifice burnt offerings to God today? No? Why not? Didn't God command that? They even practiced that before the law. But no, of course you don't offer physical burnt offerings to God. As New Covenant believers, we say, that was practiced before Christ, and those were just shadows of what we have today in the New Covenant. And you'd be right. So why do we make this one exception for tithing? Tithing is just another offering prescribed before Christ. Like many other things, such as burnt offerings and circumcision, tithing was always intended to be a shadow of the New Covenant to come. Offerings, including burnt sacrifices and tithing, were symbols of thanks and praise to God that would be offered to God in the New Covenant. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says, "Therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Psalms 119, verse 108 says, "Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord." Jonah chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving." Also see Genesis chapter 22, verse 2 and verse 5. Also Psalms 54, verse 6 and Amos chapter 4, verse 5. Tithing is also a symbol of thanksgiving and praise to God. In Malachi, Israel had wronged God, but didn't know in which way they had wronged him. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 13, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings," God says. And then in verse 13, he says, "Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you?" You see, first God explains that the wrong Israel had committed was that they did not give him tithes and offerings. Then just a few verses later, in the same conversation with Israel, God says that the problem was that their words had been harsh against him. You see, Israel had robbed God of the credit he deserved for all that he was going to do in Christ, and they spoke ill of God instead. Hence, they robbed God of tithes and offerings, or praise and thanks. New Covenant Giving. So now, knowing that tithing is an old covenant shadow of a new covenant truth, is there any point to giving at church? Of course. When you give to a ministry that's teaching the truth, you are supporting the preaching and joining in with what God is doing with that ministry. 3 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, "We therefore ought to receive such," meaning ministers, "that we may become fellow," or literally united, "workers for the truth." In fact, if you receive from a ministry, it's morally correct to give to them because you're receiving from them, and should therefore share monetarily with them to repay for what you've received. But every person should give according to their willfulness and according to their ability, not according to a law, a commandment, or a predetermined percentage. Romans chapter 15, verse 27 says, "It pleased them indeed to give, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things," meaning the Word of God, "their duty is also to minister to them," referring to those who teach them, "in material things." Are there benefits to giving? Yes. Apart from the fact that the gospel is spread further, there are great benefits to giving to a Christ-centered ministry, but not from God directly. Whenever you bless a believer, their blessing comes to you. Even if you help a believer with just a cup of cold water, you share in the blessing that God is manifesting through them. Genesis 12, verse 3 says, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 says, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." So is Jesus saying here that you'll receive a reward from God for supporting a prophet or a righteous man? No, not at all. God doesn't bless people based on their works, but the prophet's reward comes to you because you've blessed him. So it's not from God directly. It's the blessing of God on the prophet, which rubs off on you for supporting them. So when God blesses a ministry and you unite yourself with it by giving or serving, etc., the blessing that they are receiving from God yields benefits in your life as well. This is what Paul speaks of here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 16 and 19. It says, "You send aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." In verse 19 it says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Paul said that when they gave to him, fruit would abound to their account, and that his God, notice the language here, his God would supply their need because of their gift. He didn't say that their God would supply their need. He said his God would. That's because they were being blessed based on the blessing of God working through Paul. So are there benefits to giving to a good ministry? Yes, but it's not blessing on you for your work. It's not your blessing at all, actually. It's you sharing in someone else's grace that they're receiving by faith. just like it says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 5 and 7. It says, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now," meaning that they had helped Paul in his preaching. In verse 7 it says, "You are all partakers of my grace." In summary, tithing and giving is not a means of enacting any blessing from God. Tithing is a pre-Christ shadow, no different than burnt offerings and circumcision, not a new covenant practice prescribed to believers. And although there are great benefits to giving to a good ministry, it's not God blessing you directly. You are receiving the blessing that's working in that ministry. We, on the other hand, receive financial blessing from God the same way we receive salvation, by the work of Jesus, through faith in that work. And that concludes the giving and tithing article. For more articles like this and free messages, visit reforminus.com.